Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day with the life of Jesus meets yours. You got your daily Bible reading for March 5th, 2019, looking at the second portion of Acts chapter 8. Beginning in verse 26, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Get up and go south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" This was an isolated area. So he got up and went. And there was a man, an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all of her treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was on his way home, sitting in his chariot and reading the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit told Philip, "Go over there and stay close to that chariot." Philip ran up to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone explains it to me?" And he invited Philip to come and sit up with him. Now the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied to him. Who will talk about his generation, for his life is taken from the earth?" The eunuch said to Philip, "I ask you, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began to speak. Starting with that very passage of scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. As they were traveling along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is there to prevent me from being baptized?" He ordered the chariot to stop. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they stepped up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch did not see him any more, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, found himself at Azotus, and as he went from place to place, he preached the gospel in all the towns, until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of our God. Again, we see the power of God's word and the necessity of following up and further contact with the word of God. This eunuch, who was an official in Candace's court, Candace being the term, kind of like pharaoh or king or queen. It's the term for the queen of the Ethiopians. And this eunuch had gone up to Jerusalem for worshiping. And that part is obvious. He kind of says that himself. And apparently while he's there, he gets a scroll of the prophet Isaiah, probably from the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, because it would make a lot of sense that he would know Greek, but Hebrew is somewhat more obscure or not as related to his duties as an official in the Queen's court. But Greek was the common language throughout the whole Mediterranean, and so he would have to read that. And as his chariot is being driven along, he sits in the back reading. And as is common practice among many Middle Eastern peoples, especially at this time, he's reading out loud, because that really helps to plant the idea in the mind. As you're reading along, and you see it, and you speak it, and then you hear it at the same time. And the Holy Spirit tells Philip to go up near that chariot and stay near it. And Philip kind of takes it from there, strikes up a conversation. Do you know what it is you're reading? And the man's like, "I don't, unless you come up here and explain it to me." And he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 7 and 8, which is interesting. It tells us two things. Number one, that was recognized very, very early in the Christian church as a prophecy about Jesus Christ, because it was already recognized at the time of Isaiah to be a prophet about the coming Messiah. But it was recognized by the Christians as having been fulfilled in Jesus. And the Jewish people, apart from Jesus, and even before his crucifixion, the Jewish people seem to have been waiting for two messiahs. One who would be a suffering messiah, and then another who would reign on David's throne and be a powerful ruling messiah. But they don't see that Jesus fulfills both categories. He who suffered for us now rules with all authority in heaven and on earth, over all of history for the good of his church. So anyway, this eunuch gets a scroll of the prophet Isaiah at the gift shop at the temple, and as he's going home, he's reading to himself, and Philip goes up there and sits next to him and explains all of Christian teaching. And he begins with the basics. He begins with where the man is reading, and he kind of works his way out from there, talking about who is this one true God that we worship, talking about that this God gave his son as the Messiah for our salvation to save us from our sins, talking about sin and grace, talking about how baptism creates faith and baptism marks you as a redeemed child of God. And as they're driving along, the man says, "Oh, here's some water. I'd like to get baptized." Now, what shall we learn from this? A few things, of course. Number one, prophecy points to Jesus, and that's a reality of prophecy. Because God is the final author of the entire Bible, he gave the words and the impulse to write to all of his prophets and all of the pen men that he used. And it makes absolute sense, then, that prophecy in the Old Testament, 700 years before Christ, is a vivid depiction of what happened to Christ. And so Isaiah, you know, written 700 years before Christ, portrays for us what the suffering of the Messiah would be like. We also get into the idea of descriptive and prescriptive. What we have here and throughout much of the rest of Acts is description of what happened. It is descriptive text, and it tells us simply what happened, as opposed to prescriptive text, which tells us what we should do. As Luke accounts for us, the early history of the Christian church, there are some times and some occasions where we might scratch our head a little bit and wonder what is going on, such as earlier in this chapter, when Peter and John arrive to Samaria, place their hands on them, and then the people start talking in tongues or something similar to demonstrate that they had received the Holy Spirit. And really, it's God demonstrating that he had given the Holy Spirit. It's a description of what happened. It is not a binding prescription for us. And a lot of Christian churches and Christian believers really get off track when they read the book of Acts as though it is prescriptive for God's church at all places and all times. And they see the miracles such as on Pentecost, or the speaking of tongues, or that in one case, an apparent manifestation of the Spirit didn't happen until there was a separate laying on of hands from the apostles. Well, in these cases, the details matter. The details matter. If you happen to be a new convert in Samaria, and then the apostle Peter or John is showing up, then you might have a case for saying that baptism is somewhat separate in some cases, or at some times, from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, or from a visible manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But we look at the prescriptive passages of Scripture, where Jesus says, "Go and baptize all nations," where baptism is talked about in Romans and in Galatians and in Ephesians and in Colossians and in Timothy and Titus. And we look at those passages, and those passages make it very clear, also in 1 Peter, those passages make it very clear that baptism is commanded for all people, because all people are sinful, all people are reborn through the water and the word together, and that the Holy Spirit actually creates faith, which washes away sin, and creates that connection to Jesus, and it is the Jesus, that is, who has washed away the sin. And so prescriptive versus descriptive, I think, is helpful, especially as we go through the rest of the book of Acts. The other thing to note is that when we have a question about a particular doctrine or teaching or topic, we look at the clear passages of Scripture that speak to that topic. We don't look at the obscure passages of Scripture, and we don't look at these descriptive passages of Scripture as we're trying to parse out what baptism means. We look at the clear passages of Scripture that actually speak to the topic, not that just mention baptism in passing, such as in 1 Corinthians 15, when Paul mentions baptism for the dead. You could make up a whole ton of false doctrine based on that one verse, but it is not clear enough. It is somewhat obscure as to what Paul is referring to there. And so if we are curious what baptism means, we look at the clear passages of Scripture that speak about baptism. So what does this mean for you and me? Well, take a lesson from the eunuch. First of all, reading the Word of God. Second of all, when he has questions about the Word of God, he asks somebody that God has provided to help explain it for him. And likewise today, your pastor wasn't dropped here by the Holy Spirit and carried here on some wind. We arrived in a car and a rental truck. But at the same way, God wanted us here in order to explain the Word of God to people, and so that God would be able to grow his people in their faith, knowledge, and understanding. So as you go about your day, just take a moment to pray for the spread of God's word and the growth in faith of God's people, that we may gather together around his word, that we may rejoice together in the Savior that we have. You can find us Sunday morning at 2250 South Hollandsvania Road in Maumee. You could also find us tomorrow night, Wednesday evening, Ash Wednesday. We have Lenten supper at 6 p.m. and Ash Wednesday service at 7 p.m. God bless your day.